You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Coco, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on the planet.
Everywhere on the planet. 1510wwbc.com is our radio station dial. And they have all of our archive shows, so, and you can also listen live. All you have to do is hop into 1510wwbc.com. You hit that listen live button. You'll be able to hear us live and in person. Or later on, you can listen on the on-demand section. We also post all of the shows on our Facebook page, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and on our website, SitaMediaInc.com.
So we have an action-packed show today. Our friend Suzanne Taylor is going to be on the second part of the show. She has nothing to do with the first part of our show. Our first part of the show is with a good friend of mine and who was highly recommended to come on our show by another really good friend. His name is Rodney A. as in Apple, Edwards for Judge. And he is a 38-year resident of Brevard County, Florida. He was actually born right here in Melbourne, Florida, and graduated from Melbourne High School, enlisted in the United States Marine Corps at the age of 17 and received an honorable discharge and then attended law school. And there you have it, Ellen. Rodney is with us.
Fantastic. And his campaign for judge is paying for this part of the segment of the show.
Right. And, you know, I remember watching. So welcome to our show. Welcome. Let's get you nice and comfortable.
That's right.
On Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Our show is like having a conversation with friends and drinking tea or coffee in the morning. But of course, Paul wouldn't let us bring our tea or coffee. And so we have really engaging conversation about issues that are going on around Brevard County, Florida, around the state of Florida, actually in our nation and our world, because it's interesting to see how many of us are given a voice of reason and understanding and sanity, and the good Lord has blessed us to take that voice, understand that freedom of speech comes with a responsibility, and have a community radio show. So welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, and that's our show in a nutshell.
And
isn't
he's
it?
From my section of town. He's from the Bay Area.
Palm Bay.
Hey, you said that so fancy. The Bay Area.
That's what I tell everyone. When they say, where are you playing? I said, we're playing in the Bay Area tonight. That's what I call it.
That's so sweet.
And well, Rodney and I have known each other for a little while, yeah, because he also has ties with the real estate community and worked for Keller Williams. He works with Keller Williams. His license is hung there, but was a, or still is, does real estate law, right, in Palm
yes,
Bay?
Yes, yes.
And litigation and so forth. So we need all the help we can get. Yay, Rodney!
Right.
Yeah.
And look at him. He began his legal career as a legal assistant for attorney Damon E. Martin in the law office of Damon E. Martin, located in Los Angeles, California. Mm-hmm. I mean, what could get better than that, right?
Coast to coast.
That's right.
So it's always interesting
to me. From one Bay Area to the other.
That's yeah. Right. Uh-huh. It's always interesting to me why people run for political office. And you've had a great career. You've obviously Marine, right? And all of the fantastic things that you've done in your life. What makes you put your hat in the ring to become a Brevard County judge?
Well, for me, I decided to put my hat in the race after starting to work for the city of Palm Bay. Once I went to work at the city of Palm Bay, it's the largest municipality in the county of Brevard. And so I had an opportunity to work on so many different areas of law. I think the board certification test for that board certification in city, county, local government law. It deals with like 17 areas of law. Wow. So once I did that, and I've been there for the past 6 years, I felt that it was time for me to seek the promotion or go to the next level in my career and to try to sit as a county court judge.
Yeah, and you have a lot of experience as well in the courtroom.
Yes.
Unlike a lot of people who run for office in a judicial role to become a judge, a lot of them don't have experience. So tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends some of the experience you have in the courtroom.
So most of my experience in the courtroom was dealing with criminal defense. I started my actual legal work with a law firm over in Orlando that was called Mueller and Somerville. Mm-hmm. And they were a small boutique law firm, but they dealt with very high-end criminal cases and administrative law cases. The administrative law that deals with like nursing and doctor's license, Florida bar discipline cases. And so when I went to work for them, I had the experience to deal with some very high-level criminal cases, DUI manslaughter cases, some of the high-profile white-collar crime cases. And so when I talked to them, the way they trained me was the fact that the most important part they felt of the trial process was the preparation. And so in the preparation stage is where you can actually win the case. And so one of the things that Chan taught me was, if you can't convince a state attorney or a judge that your client is not guilty or deserves some type of lower sentence or deal, you're probably not going to have a good outcome trying to convince six individuals that know nothing about the law. And so I've tried to adapt that into my practice and in my firm. Where sometimes you don't have to go to trial if you can convince the person that your client is not guilty. And so I've had to sit on some murder cases, a lot of family law, real estate, because, you know, back when the foreclosure market was going on, it was like you could spend the whole day in court doing, you know, those foreclosure cases. So I've had had a lot of opportunities to help a lot of people here in the county. And around the state. I've practiced as far as Jacksonville, Hillsborough County, Gainesville, Volusia County. So I think I'm pretty well-rounded. And the fact that I had my own firm, I think, says something, because the clients actually trusted me to come all of those different places to work on their behalf.
So one of the things that people don't realize is that Palm Bay is one of the biggest cities in Florida. If not like third or fourth largest,
I think it's third largest.
Yeah.
In the state of Florida. So there is a lot of action going on in Palm Bay and a lot of things that people are probably unaware of because of, you know, maybe the slow infrastructure, the slow what happened over the last 20 years. But nonetheless, a lot of the citizens in Palm Bay represent a large part of Brevard County.
Right. Absolutely. But he's running for the entire county.
Correct.
So people have all, not just Palm Bay, but from Titusville to all the way down to Vero, right? They need
part of Mims to Mico.
Mims to Mico, M to M,
yes,
right?
To go.
And so when you say, because I heard you speak at the Democratic Forum at the in Rockledge Garden Club.
Uh-huh.
And I thank God you're here, because I wrote down what you said and I'm like, wow, you were talking about knowledge and experience and service and fairness. And that right there is the role of a judge. Right. And so I wrote it down on my phone. I texted it to myself. And now here I am in person. So tell us about those four things that you talk about. You know, how did you come up with that slogan? Because it's so real. It's what a judge should be.
I mean, I felt that entering the campaign, I felt that that was the four areas that I felt showed that I should be elected as the next county court judge. Like I said, with the knowledge, I think that in this race, everyone has practiced criminal defense, and then we have one individual that does injunctions. And I've done criminal defense and injunctions. However, my experience goes past that. I've done civil work, torts, real estate law. So I think that, and now city, county, local government. So as far as the knowledge, I think I have a wider range of knowledge on legal issues that I can take to the bench, as well as experience. I've been in the legal system for about 20 years, and I've been licensed as an attorney for the past 12 years. So I didn't jump into the role, you know, as soon as I was eligible to run for judge, which is 5 years. I wanted to take my time and actually develop.
You gathered some moss on your back, so to speak, right? In Trinidad, they would say, well, that person have a lot of moss on their back. They have, yeah. It's an experience to lead, right? So I think Allie, our resident guest.
That's me. Yeah. I'm just the one that sits in occasionally. I was glad to see you here, Rodney. With all of those items that you mentioned that you have experience in, do all those things run into play with the position that you're running for?
No, that's the difference. There's a difference between the county court level and the circuit court level. Basically, with the county court level, it's sometimes referred to as the people's court because they handle small claim issues, misdemeanors, any action and controversy that's less than $30,000. You know, they're going to do your traffic tickets, your small claims issues that you're going to
face. Like Judge Wapner.
Right. And so the circuit court is the one that handles your felonies, your family law, anything that's in controversy over $30,000. They're going to be able to sentence people to death and things of that nature. So a county court judge is more of a judge for the people to help them.
Just
resolve.
To be clear, which one are you running
for? I'm running for a county court judge.
The people's court. He is the people's court. So what are the qualifications in order for someone to qualify to run for a judge?
It's very simple. The only qualifications you have to have is you have to be, of course, a Florida bar attorney in good standing with the Florida bar. And you only have to have 5 years of experience.
Gee, let's start school tomorrow. Can a judge engage in personal and extrajudicial activities? Like, what are your boundaries once elected? We're hoping you get elected, so let's think like that.
So you're kind of limited in your actions, like, for example, outside employment. So I would have to leave Keller Williams because I can't be doing, you know, selling real estate and sitting as a judge and, you know, causing conflicts of interest and things of that nature. A lot of judges live a strange lifestyle.
A quiet lifestyle.
Correct.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. They lay low.
Right, right, right.
Like, they can't even come to your barbecue or nothing.
Right.
You bring the food to them and say, you can't come, so I brought you the food.
Yeah, because you don't want to create potential conflicts of interest.
Do you feel like running for judge has made you a politician? At this point, do you consider yourself a politician?
I don't consider myself as a politician, but although it is, it's that balance that you have to run between being a politician and being an elected official and a judge at the same time.
Especially in the days of social media.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I guess in the old days, you didn't have to worry as much. But today, people can screenshot. They can record. They can come behind you when you don't even know and take a selfie with you. And you know.
You have no secrets.
And then the promises, you know. So, like, that's a good thing, I think, about running for judge, some of the rules that are put in place. So we can't actually campaign like a normal politician would campaign, where you have a platform and you're making promises, you're going to clean the streets up and things of that nature. So it's more of, I think, showing who you are and how you're willing to give back. So I think that's the most important thing for me, that if I am elected judge, I will come back in the community and continue to give service to the community.
Well, and three of the committees that you're on are so, we're so involved with them in Brevard County. Diversity and Inclusion Committee, you're on with the Florida Bar Committees.
Yes.
Eminent Domain Committee, which total real estate, right? Right. And with the housing market and the things that we've got going on, so important. And then governmental and public policy advocacy committee, which again, you're on an advocacy board. I can't even say that word.
Yeah.
As well for Brevard
County.
Community
Action Board. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
It's great.
It's so important that,
to give back,
but also that our officials that are going to get elected for the things that they're running for, that they're campaigning for, they have in touch,
skin
they're
in the game.
Touch
you have
with
to have
what's
skin
going
in the game.
On. And it's not like what we say, somebody knocking on a door that you've never seen before. It's people that are actually out there doing fantastic things in the community and being a part of committees that are actually changing the face and changing the texture, if you will, of Brevard County. It's amazing.
It is. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Mr. Rodney A. Edwards, and he is a candidate for the County Court Judge Group A.
Group four,
I'm sorry. And I don't know why I'm thinking A. A's for apple. But anyways, so for people who are out there, first to begin with, we want people to vote. You can't complain if you're not part of the system. And there are so many ways you can vote. Early voting has started. I sent my ballot in by mail. So, Rodney, tell our listeners about the different ways that they can vote. And, you know, who didn't, maybe they should get off the couch and do something.
Quick.
Absolutely. So, you said quick.
Quick.
So, as you said, we have, if you have requested a vote by mail ballot, you can vote by mail. You can either mail the ballot back or you can take it to the actual polling place and drop it in the box. You can also, right now, beginning last Saturday until this Saturday, the 20th, you can early vote. So there are 10 locations around the county that you can early vote at. And if you don't know, you probably need to go to the Supervisor of Elections website so that you know those exact 10 places, because they're not the normal places that you could necessarily early vote.
Right.
And then on primary day, which is next Tuesday, the 23rd, you can go to your local polling place and cast your vote if you have it.
Right. And people need to check their IDs, check your driver's license, check your identification. If you want to go in person, that's wonderful. But cross all your T's and dot all your I's.
Well,
because
plans. That's what we've been
saying.
Well,
make a plan to vote.
Make a plan to vote.
It's so important. So now, do you have a campaign committee, and are you looking for volunteers to help put out signs and events, whatever? What
Absolutely.
Are you doing?
So we do have a campaign committee. We're getting ready. Right now, we need people to help us at the polling locations to wave signs and come out and support the voter. I'm having a big campaign event this weekend. I was endorsed by Rubenstein Law.
Mm-hmm.
So they're coming down, and we're going to be giving away 1,000 backpacks to kids. Going to have food, games, and then they're world famous for their motorcycle defense. So they're going to be bringing down their motorcycle. So we're asking all the motorcycle clubs to come out and just hang out with us from 10 to 2 on Saturday.
Yeah, I've seen their commercial. Lots of bicycles for true. Well, motorbikes. Motorcycles, yeah. So, Mr. Rodney, what do you think are the biggest challenges to the justice system in Brevard County, Florida? I mean, there has to be something that you say, if I'm a judge, I could change that.
What I think is the biggest issue in the justice system, period, I probably couldn't change. And that would be, I think that diversity and inclusion is probably the biggest hamper to the justice system in the state of Florida. And that doesn't necessarily come from me. This was done, studies done back, I think it was like 2010, where they actually came in and created the diversity and inclusionary committee at the Florida Bar because they felt that the bar membership didn't reflect the community of the state of Florida. And then in 2017, the bar president, Eugene Pettis, commissioned a survey and a study that showed that we needed to do some work to make the bar look more like us. And so if the bar membership isn't diverse and inclusionary, the judicial ship, it's not going to be diverse and inclusionary.
Yeah. I mean, everybody wants to feel like they're part of the system.
Correct.
And when you show up there and you don't see somebody like look like you, talk like you, understand your socioeconomic background, your zip code, your area, it's difficult, right?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's not just race or color. It's experiences. You know, so we were having a conversation one day, and for people that are from New York, some have never had a car before. They've always depended on public transportation. If you move here to Melbourne or to Brevard County, you know, not to bash scat, but it's no comparison. So if you're used to taking public transportation to go somewhere, you may be late to court thinking that, you know, it only takes, you know, 30 minutes, an hour to get there.
Or you'll have trouble driving because you haven't driven before.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you'll be like me and drive too close behind the police and get a ticket.
Uh-oh.
Like, what were you thinking? You didn't see a police in front of you. And I'm not even from New York. So when people say justice for all, how do you define that? Because if we're living in a time in our nation when we're seeing so much division, so much hatred for no reason, so much fear and anxiety, and people are getting depressed, mental health issues over this. It's like, the good Lord made me this color. If you want to change it, go talk to him, not me. But when we say justice for all, what do you interpret that to mean?
Well, I think that as a judge, you take an oath, and you're supposed to know the law, take the law that is given, as it's written, apply the facts to the law, and then render a judgment that is fair and equitable. And so I think that that's the way that I think judges can ensure that justice is for all, if you're being fair and equitable to everybody that comes before, regardless of their situation, their skin color.
And you're probably seeing a lot in your law practice too, or at least in the past few years, of people that have never gotten in trouble. So things have changed, you know, with the pandemic, with just that's what's going on with our politics in general. People that wouldn't normally have legal issues are coming up with more and more legal issues. People that have never had, they've never been poor before. They've never had, you know, like the hand to mouth kind of type of thing.
Yeah.
So it's so important for judges like you that have been in that community to really listen too.
Yeah.
And are you experiencing the same thing? Like people have not, you know,
yeah,
first all the time.
Time, yeah.
Right? First timers.
You know, and I think that's another thing that judges have to be aware of.
And sensitive to.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And, you know, I think Judge Majeed is one of the kindest judges I've ever seen. He has the same
spiel. I know his speech.
Day.
I know his speech by heart.
Exactly. Say it.
What he says in the court about being a good citizen and American, mm-hmm. and freedom and democracy.
Yes,
and
every day.
Yeah.
As soon as he comes on the bench, he says good morning to everybody in the courtroom.
Yes.
And then he says everybody's having a great day. Yes. And he says you should.
Yeah.
Because you woke up this morning in the greatest country in the world, in the greatest state in the country.
Yeah, he makes you want to be reborn in America all over again, you know? So how would you balance being a judge as an elected official? Because you have a personal life, you have a professional life, and then you're going to be elected.
I think that if I'm elected, I'm going to continue to do many of the things that I'm doing now. I'm going to be in the community, actually working and serving, mentoring, and just educating people as to the justice system and how they can get a help and assistance. I think that's something key that judges should do. You don't just become a judge and just sit in the courtroom and in your chambers, but you got to get out. You got to mentor other attorneys. You got to be in organizations. You got to be in the.
Well, you're
community.
Also a role model. So you're a role model in the community. So what advice do you have for children who are looking up to you as a role model? Because we're seeing where so many people don't have a foundation at home. Everything starts in the home. The foundation for life starts in the home. So what do you tell the young children who are looking up to you that don't have that role model at home?
I think the one thing that I talk and discuss with kids, because I work with kids a lot, is that to never give up. It doesn't matter where you start at. It just matters where you finish. And as long as you seek out a good education, you work hard, you give back to your community, things will go. Things will progress. Believe in God. Put God first. Things are just going to come to you. It took me a long time to get here. I went in the military first, but I went to school, worked at night, worked, and then went to school in the evenings. But I was able to do it.
So you had education and opportunities.
Yes.
And you took it. So if you met somebody and they said, why are you going to leave all this busy lifestyle you have with the real estate and the law firm and all the other things you're doing with the city of Palm Bay, and you're running for office, what would be your little spiel in an elevator to somebody to why they should vote for you versus another candidate in this race?
Well, I think they should vote for me just based off those four things that I told you. Experience, knowledge, service, and fairness. I'm doing this to eliminate, although it may eliminate some economic income, I think that I'm going to be elevating my game to affect other people. I think as a judge, I can come back and be even more effective and even more instrumental in the community than I am right now as an attorney.
How do we get more people to cast that all-important vote? I mean, we know, you know, and I know a lot of people from the Caribbean and other places. They're like, I don't get involved in voting. Like, why? What are we not doing to show people that from the minute you wake up till the minute you go to bed, life is political, whether you like it or not. You have to vote.
Well, I think that one of the things that we stress, either through your churches or through your families, one of the things that we used to do was to go vote as a family. You take your family, your friends, and try to get them to go with you or get them to at least get involved in the system. And I think that that's going to be, you know, the best way to actually get people.
Well, you're very calm, Mr. Rodney Edwards, and I think you'd make a great judge. You're a good listener, and you're fair-minded, and I think that's what it takes. Is you love all people, I could tell.
Yeah.
You want to do good for Brevard. I really wish you well. So give us your website and how people can get a hold of you if they want to meet you for the... Because the primary is on August 23rd.
Correct.
So we still have
7
time.
7 days.
So if people want to meet you, they want to attend a meet-and-greet, have an event... put a campaign sign in their yard, whatever they want to do, give us the website.
You can reach our website at www.rodneyedwards4judge.com and our email, rodneyedwards4judge@gmail.com.
He's
and also
like,
on that.
He should be called like the friendly judge.
That's right.
Because when you get into a courtroom, you're already so anxious and stressed out and depressed and you got to leave the kids someplace, the car, the gas, the boss. But you need somebody that says, I understand what you're going through. Let's hear about it.
Yeah. So Rodney's going to have his own speech like Judge Majeed in the beginning, right?
You're
going to work it on
it. I got to work on it.
Work on it.
Yes.
So make sure that you go to that website. You can actually donate to the campaign. Once again, you can get the signs. You can volunteer. All kinds of fantastic things that you can do as part of this. And remember, it's only 7 days away. So make sure that you make a plan to vote. That's the primary is August 23rd.
Yeah, and your race can be decided at a primary, right, if you get a certain percent?
Yes. So since there's three people in the race, if one person doesn't get 50 plus 1%, then the top two individuals would go to the general.
Wow. So we might end up having you back on the show again if that happens, but we hope not. Because, when you're running for office, Ellen, and, you know, I ran for office, it's a hard job to give up. Your whole life is on standstill. You know that because you were my manager. And so people need to really show some respect and understand where the candidates are coming from, no matter what job you're running for. And they need to cast that all-important vote because that's how it is.
Yes, exactly right. Well, Rodney Edwards, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And
good
telling
to see
us
you
your
again.
Story. It's good to see you as well. And once again, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we are sponsored. We're going to listen to a few of those sponsors right now, and then we'll be right back with these right after these all-important messages with Suzanne Taylor.
Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473.
2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. What a great segment we had earlier. Our second segment, as usual, is heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, 100.7. And Paul, we are heard all on the World Wide Web.
That's right. We certainly are at 1510 WWBC.com all around the world.
And our friend Suzanne Taylor is here. She is also an attorney, and she's here to chat about the League of Women Voters of the Space Coast. So, Suzanne, take it away. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the League of Women Voters.
Thank you, Sita. I've been with the League of Women Voters for about a year and a half now, and I'm actually the president now.
Oh.
I jumped right in.
That's awesome.
I think everyone has a COVID story. Our COVID story with the League of Women Voters of the Space Coast is that we had a number of really wonderful members who did like every, you know, you have every organization has core members that do like everything. And we had a number of them, and we had a number of people move out of the state of Florida, or Brevard County, at least one. One passed away, we just had a lot of people that did a lot of work left. And I came just at the right time, and I don't know how to say no. So I ended up as the president, but I'm glad that I did. I'm enjoying it a lot. The reason I joined the League of Women Voters mainly was because I think that the world, Florida specifically, but the United States has gotten way too partisan. And it just frustrates me that everybody takes one extreme or the other and nothing gets solved. Nothing gets solved in those extremes. The League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan organization. It's local, statewide, and countrywide. We're a nonpartisan organization. We don't take positions about individual candidates and recommend any individual candidates, but we focus on helping people get registered to vote, learn what they need to vote, make their vote count.
All about the vote. And we do take
positions on issues that relate to fairness and democracy, basically.
It's all about equality, right? Everybody wants to be appreciated while on this planet. And how do you get to that point? By giving everybody the same opportunity, education, and putting yourself in their shoes sometime, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So, Ali, have you heard of the League of Women Voters? Are you part of it, or do you know anyone who's been a member?
I'm part of it every time it's time to vote, mm-hmm. because I'm using it, particularly if there are new bills or new amendments or these verbiage-filled things that you're not sure if no means yes and yes means no and that sort of thing. And
I trust, they simplify it.
Yes. And so League of Women Voters does a great job with simplifying that and making it understandable so that I feel more confident with what I'm voting
What I
for.
Like about them is that they'll take like a bill from Tallahassee here in Florida and condense it into like two paragraphs, and it give you what you need to just have the information in your head to vote.
Right.
And I'll be honest, I was never good with the double negatives.
Yeah.
You know, so very confusing. So that's where I always used the League of Women Voters. Right. I got introduced with Joe
on the
Shem
show.
On the show.
That's right. Joe Shem. So, Suzanne, let's go for our listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today. Let's go over the ways people can vote. And I know that the League talks about three ways to vote. So tell our listeners about the main three ways to vote.
Well, there are three ways to vote in Brevard County and in Florida. The first way is to request a mail-in ballot. It used to be, I know when I was a new voter when I was 18, and that was a really long time ago. I mean, it was in a different state too, but it used to be that you could only get a mail-in ballot if you were hospitalized or you were in the Army and you were out of the country. It's not like that anymore. Anyone can request a mail-in ballot. There is a deadline. I think it's August 13th, I think it's 10 days before the actual election on the 23rd, that you can request by mail a mail-in ballot, and the supervisor of election will mail it to you. You can walk into their office up to the date of the actual election day on August 23rd, the primary election day, and request a mail-in ballot. You wouldn't be able to mail it in. You would have to hand it in. But that is one way, and anyone can do that. Anyone can request it. The new law that came into place last year did require that you have to request that every single I believe it's either year or every single voting cycle, which is a two-year voting cycle, right? We haven't had to do that yet because there was a grandfather period, but starting in January, if you have gotten a mail-in ballot and you want to keep getting it, you do need to specifically request it beginning in January. So that's the first way. The second way is early voting, which is going on, as you said, right now until the 20th of August, which is this coming Saturday. There are 10 early voting location sites throughout Brevard County. They're not the same thing as the voter precinct on your voter registration card. There are only 10 throughout the county, and they're in major community centers, so they're not hidden. They're very easy to find. In fact, the one I voted at here in Cocoa, there's a gigantic sign on the road saying, if you want to vote, turn left now. So you can't miss it, which is wonderful because, you know, you get distracted when you're driving by lots of other things, so you can't miss it. And the third way, of course, is voting on Election Day, which is the way you used to only be able to vote on Election Day. And thank goodness that we have made the changes to allow more people
to
vote.
We made strides.
If you can't vote, if you happen to have some emergency happen or you can't get out of work that day, then you couldn't vote. And that's just really not fair. So it's wonderful that we've expanded it by mail-in balloting and early balloting. And if I can address one other thing about that, and this is what I do. I think this is an awesome idea. I request a mail-in ballot. I get my mail-in ballot. It shows me everybody that's on there, all my choices, and I can think about it and I can make my choices. But then I don't do that. I go and I early vote. And you can do it either way. There's no right or wrong answer. If you mail in ballot and you mail, or you do a mail in ballot and you actually mail it in or drop it in the box, you can look on the website of the supervisor of election and it will tell you they received it.
Yeah,
it'll tell you when
it.
They opened
yeah,
it.
Yes.
It'll tell you when they counted it. So it's a wonderful system. That's votebrevard.org. But I like to go in person because especially in the last big election, there was a lot of talk about some votes that were counted right away and some votes that were counted later. And different states do it different ways. Some states aren't allowed to open the ballots at all until actual election day. Others can do it earlier. But if you can't open them till election day and you're busy until like 10 p.m. on election day, then the mail-in ballots are going to be the last thing you count.
So you have to stay up really late to see if your candidate won.
Well, in the last major election, that didn't even help. I mean, I stayed up till like 3 a.m. and they still didn't know, of course. And that happens. We have a lot of really close elections anymore, especially at the local level, but all the way up to president, of course. They're very contested elections, so every single vote really does count. But I like to vote in person. So you can take your mail-in ballot that you haven't filled out, and you can take it to the voting booth. To, in my case, early voting or on election day, you hand it in, they'll write cancel on it and print out another ballot for you where you can vote in person right then and there. Yeah. So you didn't lose your opportunity to vote in person by requesting a mail-in ballot. It's just a backup plan.
Right, right.
It's
right.
Awesome to have a plan and a backup plan.
With COVID and everything, sure.
Exactly, yeah.
And so, I did the exact same thing. And I want to make sure that people know that there's a really cool website called Be Ready to Vote. It's an official voter service initiative by the League of Women Voters of the Florida Education Fund. And it says those exact things that you had. It's part of the League of Women Voters website. You just have to click on, and it says ways to vote, register to vote, and you can also check your voter status.
Yeah, I think what you guys are doing is,
today's a good day to do that.
It's wonderful. So, you know, a lot of us wait to listen and watch the candidate forums. And the League of Women Voters partnered with the Florida Today, and you have the candidate forums for county commissioner and school board races. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, how do we decide on who to vote for? Now, I did notice that, I'm not sure, did you not have the congressional candidates on there, or are you waiting for later on to have them? Or was it just people who are primaried?
It's a decision that we made with consultation with the Florida Today about how much we could handle. I mean, the candidate forums we did, there were five of them. There were mm-hmm. three school board races and there are two county commission races. So that took a lot of effort to make that happen. The time period was kind of short. There are a lot of elections we could have done, but we chose not to do. And actually, I think Florida Today did some other, I think they did some other candidate forums that we were not involved in because some of them, like the United States Representative, one of the people running, is a member of the League of Women Voters. So we did not want to touch
that
at all.
So that's a conflict of interest.
We felt it was a conflict of interest, and we just stayed apart mm-hmm. from that. And, mm-hmm. But I believe that Florida Today talked to both. And Florida Today, they're a little different. We're nonpartisan. We don't choose candidates. And in fact, one of the candidate forums, there were two people running, and one person didn't show up. So at the last minute, you know, we backed out of that, and that's simply Florida Today. We're not involved in that one at all. The others where more than one person showed up, then obviously we can be involved in those. So part of it was timing. Part of it was, you know, that issue. We do plan to do more with the Florida Today after the primary election, and we see what happens. Because, for example, some candidate races have more than two people involved, so there may be a runoff election. So once we see what happens after August 23rd primary, then we're going to do some more with the Florida Today and hopefully more on our own. In addition to the Florida Today candidate forums that we did, we participated in one up in Titusville on July 25th that was simply a judges forum. So there, all the judges races that were happening, we sent a member who's also an attorney, and she asked questions of, I think it was the county court judges, was the part that she took place.
Yeah.
Took part.
And how difficult is it, Suzanne, to arrange these forums? And, I mean, we're just coming out of COVID where people are beginning to feel comfortable to come in person. How difficult it is, the logistics, to get the candidate, get all the information out. You have to put it on your website. And it must be kind of frustrating, too, when people don't show up to listen to the forums, too.
Yes, we had a couple of people that simply didn't show up, and thank goodness I kept all my emails. I never throw anything away, including emails, but to show that we made the effort for all people, all of the candidates, in the same way, to try to get everybody 100% participation. It was a lot of emailing and a lot of just going back and forth. Florida Today, and they partnered with Eastern Florida State College for their actual taping. They did the lion's share of it. We did the more of the preparation and helping with questions and arranging everybody, and then we turned them over to Florida Today, and they handled all the technical stuff. And John Torres was the person who asked the questions of all the candidates in those forums. Those were done virtually. And the one that I mentioned that was a judge's forum, that was done in person. I've seen some other forums that have been done in person. I've seen some that have been done virtually. Right now, I mean, there's such a benefit to virtual, some benefits to virtual, in that you can, they're easier to arrange than finding a venue, arranging with everybody, making sure everybody drives there on time, then worrying that COVID's going to break out, and do you still keep the forum or do you cancel it? So there is a benefit to doing it virtually, and we could get more of them done that way. So I think we'll continue to do some. The last, it wasn't the 2020 election, but in 2021, there was an election in Cape Canaveral, and we did a virtual candidate forum for that.
And you have one coming up in October.
We have some. We don't have any planned just yet. Okay. We're going to wait and see. We have general ideas of what we want to do, but we want to see how the the primary election goes on August 23rd, and then we'll make a decision about how many we can do.
Right.
And I just want to talk about one of my other favorite things that's on the League of Women Voters website, which is there's a citizens toolkit option. And if you use that drop down, you can hit the box that says elected officials. And this little trifold pamphlet that I've always gotten, I usually get them at the libraries, and I believe this year you can also find them in Brevard County libraries, government offices, and some other locations throughout the county. You can get those, or you can actually mail in something. I wouldn't trust that right now to think that you're going to get it in 7 days. But nonetheless, that is a fantastic flyer that talks about the directory of elected officials, so you know exactly who's running. You can look up their website, see what they stand for, and again, make your own intelligent decisions based on what you feel.
Right. Right. And of course, that does not talk about their positions on issues or anything, but it gives their information, it gives you their salary.
What they do, where they're trying to reach them by every email,
phone number, snail mail, all that kind of stuff. So, and you have an idea of who these people are. It's wonderful, and we have tons of them, so everybody who wants one should ask for them. We printed so many, and then COVID hit.
Yeah, I had one delivered. I had one mailed to me. So, Susan, on that same website, there's a drop-down box for people who want to become volunteers and want to become part of the league. It's a nonpartisan league. So tell our listeners a little bit about membership and why people should join the league. I mean, I've been telling people about it, so I'd like to see more people join here in Brevard.
Yes, I would love to see more people join in Brevard too. We always have new members, but our membership does fluctuate. But there's so much to do. There really is. I'm currently also the Voter Services Committee Chair, in addition to being the president right now. There's so much that we're trying to do. Of course, we're not able to. Well, we can register people to vote now for the general election, but you can't register now. If you're not registered right now, you can't vote in the primary on August 23rd, but you can register now to vote in the general election. So once the primary is done, and our focus is on helping people get to the polls, finding, you know, if anyone's having trouble with either with their ballot or with a way to get to the polls, solving those problems so that everybody who wants to vote can vote. And then we'll switch back to registering people as is a something that we do all the time. We go out in the community at events. We try to figure out different places that we can go where people might not be registered to vote and try to get them registered. In addition, we spend a lot of time just talking with people about how to vote, like people that come to Brevard County from out of state. You know, things were different in their state, and can I do this here? And we say, you know, have to tell them no, or help them figure out what they need to do to change to get themselves registered. And there are a lot of other details, like if your signature changes, for example, you need to file a document with the Supervisor of Elections so that your current signature is on their records. And there's a lot more. If you change your address, you have to file a document, et cetera. So we do a lot of talking with people about how to deal with those issues, as well as simply letting people know. I mean, it's surprising to me because, I mean, I kind of live and breathe elections being with the league. But even before I was with the league, I mean, I was aware of the elections that were happening. We come across a lot of people who don't even know. Somehow don't even know that there's a major election coming. I mean, they're all major elections, really. But it's people that just really aren't aware that there's an election.
They
absolutely do. So we come across a lot of people like that and try to engage them in a conversation. We had an event in July, and I think it was four different ladies came up to our League of Women Voters volunteers and said, oh, I don't deal with elections. I let my husband handle that. And it floored me. I mean, I wouldn't let my husband handle anything for me personally. I'm an independent person, and you know, we don't always agree on everything. So absolutely, I would never let my husband decide who I was going to vote for. But so it floored me that there were still people that really felt that
really,
way.
Really? That's a real old-fashioned view, right?
It is.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with the president of the League of Women Voters of the Space Coast. Her name is Suzanne Taylor. She's an attorney. She's a full-time job, and she also volunteers as being the president for the League of Women Voters. So, you know, many times we speak with people, and oftentimes they would say, oh, it's not safe to vote anymore. And they're concerned about their vote. Is it secure? If they vote by mail, will it be counted? If they go in person, will it be counted? People are really worried about their vote because of all the rhetoric we've had about election security. What's the position of the league to calm people's nerves?
Well, the position of certainly the Space Coast League, but I think all levels of the league, are that the supervisors of elections are professionals. This is what they do for a living, is they make sure elections are secure and people get to vote. But in particular, we're very lucky in Brevard County because Lori Scott, our supervisor of elections, is extremely good. I mean,
she's the best.
There have been some recent concerns expressed in the media that you might have seen, specifically in the newspapers, that there's a group that is inundating her office with onerous requests and then not paying the bill when they're doing the research and getting the information, which is a lot of information that is being requested, detailed information. And her office is providing it, and they're not even paying the bills, and then wanting her to do more onerous research. But she's complying with all that, and there's no credible evidence whatsoever that there's any widespread voter fraud in anywhere in the country, but specifically within the state of Florida. In fact, at the last major election, both the president at the time and the governor praised Florida for how well we did. So any concerns that anyone might have that their election won't count or that there's some kind of fraud going on, it's simply there's no evidence of it. There's no evidence of it. You said it right. I'm an attorney, so I live my life by evidence. You show me evidence, yeah. I will pay attention and I will follow the evidence.
It's amazing, evidence, Suzanne, how misinformation and disinformation spreads and scares the heck out of people, right?
Exactly.
It's like it takes over and it grows 10 feet and legs and arms. And before you know it, everybody is talking about something that never really happened.
I don't understand why it feels all of a sudden all of us, that so many people are duped by believing so much of this ridiculous stuff.
The claims
that's out there. Yes,
that
the
elections was and not safe. Yes,
and they're just claims.
They're just claims. I don't understand. I don't get it. Why everybody just jumps on the bandwagon for, yep, they messed up. They did terrible things. They did. It was like, wait.
And they lie. And they put pictures of a bag full of ballots. Like maybe they just put it in their own home and put it up. You know, people believe it.
Yeah.
So there are many ways to get to the polls. And you mentioned earlier that people can call a phone number if they wanted a ride. What other ways do we have for people to get to the polls? And I mean, they need to make a plan to vote because it could be raining on election day and you can't leave your home. The elderly, they're scared of falling. People are scared if they would they have their medication, if they have to line up. You know, there are really real fears, like things, personal things like that. But what other ways can people get to the polls?
Well, we're still trying to, we're spending quite a bit of time trying to find different ways that people can get to the polls. I believe in this, I haven't double checked this, but I believe each of the major political parties does provide help for people to get to the polls, you know, for people who are voting under their persuasion. So we don't address that, but certainly if you're a member of a party and you're having trouble getting to a vote, that is one avenue I would suggest that you try. But there are others. Specifically, I wanted to give a shout out to the Pushback Community Alliance, which is based in like Palm Bay area, and they're providing rides to the polls for people on election day from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And they're covering areas from the Pineda Causeway to the south boundary of the city limits of Palm Bay. And they're providing rides to anybody. They're not based on a particular party, but there's some two numbers that I was given that you can call and ask them for a ride if you're in that area that I just mentioned, and they're both 321 numbers, and they are 693-2062 and 961-0456. At the end, I'll make sure I give contact information and anything
you
I say.
You can do that now, and you can give the contact information, the website, and if there are any events coming up that the public can attend.
Yes, thank you for mentioning that because I forgot to write that down on my notes here. But yes, the Supervisor of Elections website, again, has a wealth of information, and that is votebrevard.gov. The League of Women Voters of the Space Coast, our website is LWV for League of Women Voters, -spacecoast.org, but the easiest way is just, that's a little hard to remember, just League of Women Voters Space Coast, and it'll pop right up. And we have a lot of information on our website as well on the main page, and there's also a contact link on our website, all the tab all the way to the right, and a contact link, and you can ask any question you want to us by email, and we will get back to you and help you with that. So those are the two primary websites that I would give you for information. Upcoming events, we have a couple. One is we have a fundraiser at Painting with a Twist in downtown Melbourne on August 28th, which is a Sunday afternoon, and that's open to the public. And another event that we have coming up on September 10th, which is a Saturday afternoon, we're having an event called Rockets Away. in Cape Canaveral at their community center. And it's a discussion. We have three people on a panel, and it's a discussion about the effect of the increase in space launches, the effect of that on our local environment, the environment itself, the cities, the roads, all of that, the impacts of that on us.
Yeah, what I love about the league is that it is nonpartisan. And I find myself, oftentimes I'll find myself correcting people because they don't know it's nonpartisan. What else can we do to let the public know that this is not a Democratic-leaning organization or Republican, but we're in the middle? I mean, we're trying to educate people, but a lot of people still feel like, wait a minute, I've never heard of them. So what else can we do to help spread the word?
Well, I'm trying to do that here by appearing, and thank you for letting me be on the show. That's a big problem. It is a huge problem. The league, and I said it already, we stand for fairness and democracy, and those things did not used to be a partisan issue. They shouldn't be a partisan issue. They're not a partisan issue, but people make those a partisan issue. So we've not changed at all. We've always been nonpartisan since 1920 when we started, when women were first getting the right to vote. That's how we began our organization. So I don't know other than to keep saying it. We try to demonstrate as many ways as we can that we are nonpartisan.
Really quickly, with the time we have left, what are some of the committees that someone who is probably retiring and has an hour to give a month or maybe 2 hours a month, they can sign up? It's not that expensive to be a member. I am a member of the league and I love it. I love just helping out and giving back. So what are some of the committees, really quick, that people can become a member of the league and join?
Well, first of all student memberships are free. So if you're a student, you can join for free. Our membership is $60 a year. That's really not that much. You get a lot out of that $60, and we do a lot with that $60. We do a lot of other things. Our two main things that we do are help people with registering to vote and voting, and also keeping an eye on local government. We try to attend as many of local government meetings as we can, the county commission, the charter review commission, all of those. There's a gigantic list that we have, and we try to view as many of those as we can and keep tabs on it to see if there's anything happening in the community to let people know. There was a big issue with the water quality in MIMS, fluoride in the water in MIMS a couple months ago, and it kind of like went under the radar, and we were there, and we certainly helped project that was an issue and let people know so that they could comment if they want. We have lots of other committees. We have a sustainability committee, natural resources committee, education committee is a big one right now. We try to attend the school board meetings and keep people aware of what's going on with that.
Women's issues. We have diversity and things like
that. Well, we have a diversity, equity, and inclusion group. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
Environmental
the natural
stuff,
resources.
Yes.
Right.
And I think it's wonderful because so many people are retired and they do have a passion for those things and they can give back to the league. So as a member of the league, I'm asking my listeners to, if you have a couple of hours per week, per month, whatever, just sign up, be a member of the League of Women Voters of the Space Coast, and join my friend Suzanne Taylor, who is the president, and do your thing. If you have any last-minute things to say before we go off air, go for it.
I think we've covered just about everything I wanted to say. I do give a shout-out that as much of time as you have to give us to help promote fairness and equality in elections in Brevard County in the state of Florida, we'll take all the time that you have. Some people have more than others.
Okay.
Thank you.
Another fantastic show with Rodney Edwards, who is running for Brevard County Judge in District 4, and also with Suzanne Taylor from the League of Women Voters. Allie, thank you so much for being with us. Sita, fantastic getting all these fantastic guests for the show. Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we're on each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 1510 WWBC.